The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw On Your Questions, episode 424. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up?
All right, people, we're back with another one. All right, I'm going to repeat this several times during the show. We didn't get a lot of questions this week. We literally got four. So unless you want the show to be over in half an hour, I suggest you start asking us some gaming questions in the chat. I know there's only a couple of people in the chat right now, so I'll ask again in about another 10 minutes and probably 10 minutes after that if we haven't run out of questions, you know. But like we always said, this show is made by you guys. So if you don't get a lot of questions, we don't get a lot of shows. Simple as that, you know.
I got one in the pocket in case we run short.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. You know what? Toss it in because we're probably going to need it. We will probably need it. All right. Let's start off with Villa Kyle. This one is a fun one. He goes, what is your gaming nightmare? Mine is any of the big three getting their grubby hand on From Software. Oh, man.
Oh, I feel you.
All right. So what's your biggest?
From needs to run free.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that would be pretty terrible. All right, I'm going down the line here. Gaming nightmare. Manny, go.
Gaming nightmare?
Like, what would be the worst thing that could happen in gaming, you know, gaming related to you?
everything going fully digital.
Oh, no.
Everything going fully digital. That's my game. It's already happening.
So. That's becoming a gaming reality.
Reality, basically. You know.
Hey man, listen. You can't not say I'm living a nightmare.
Welcome to my nightmare. Yeah.
Huh?
I said this question is hard because we already live in a dystopian nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, it could be more dystopian and more nightmarish.
Well, Brett brings up a good point. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of nightmares that are already going on. You know, BioWare making a shitty Mass Effect game.
Yeah. Not doing Metal Gear games.
Yeah. Yeah. All the greats have fallen. I hate to sound like a fanboy, but I'll fully admit that I am. It's like, yeah, From Software being acquired probably specifically by PlayStation. Because honestly, that's more likely with Bloodborne and them having history like that. That
so
to me would be
to Xbox.
Not for anybody. Just stay on their own. I'd rather stay on their own.
But if I had to choose between them, like, yeah, I'd rather go to the company that seems to be trying harder as opposed to the company that seems to be fucking me.
You mean the same company that literally just canceled the game by a well-known popular game company just out of nowhere. I don't think Xbox has a good track record with anything Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm like. The scenario, they need to stay wild. Just let them roam free. Also, like, Miyazaki's like final boss shit. Like, what are you going to do to take him down? you know, this like other Miyazaki, this is like fucking Studio Ghibli. Like, it's a behemoth thing, and it's just gotten bigger and more settled. It's here. You can't do anything about it. I got to say, some things have turned out pretty cool.
If the formula starts to get old and then they fall into old From Software section, which just happened. They've had success.
I mean, yeah.
They've had successes in the past, but they were never able, after a certain point, it just became pale comparisons of what they did before. The only reason why Miyazaki was able to do is because he did it on a game that nobody gave a shit about, and he actually tried to do something different because other than that, you know, that game, Demon Souls, would have just been another another one of those lousy, you know, low, you know, middle budget, you know, one of those From Software games. So.
Yeah, but here's the thing: like, there's a lot of clones, and the clones are all missing something. Once the clones figure out what that something is, then I think we start to run the risk of kind of oversaturation and getting bored and things like that. But it, weird, like, I have never met a Dark Souls player that's like, I'm kind of sick of these mechanics. It's
well, no, it's because there's a general evolution between the games. Like, he is still growing. Every single game improves on what has been done on the last. That is what you're supposed to do. Now, if they fall, the thing is, if they start to fall into that same line of thinking as From Software was beforehand, you know, like all the Armored Core games, you know, like there was a point that people really loved Armored Core games and they were considered very, you know, considered graphical and, you know, gameplay, you know, juggernauts, and then they just fell into the wayside. Kind of the same thing happened with the Tenchu titles, where they just became these bland repeats of what they were before. So, you know, then, you know, that could happen to any studio.
Yeah, but there's more chance if they get acquired that that's going to happen, because whoever acquires them is like, make us money.
Yeah, what will happen is that they will not want to take the chances on those sorts of titles, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, in other words, like, you know, Sony or Xbox or Microsoft gets on it, they're like, okay, you're the studio that makes these Soul things. Keep making the Soul things, but make them as close to the last Soul thing that you made the last time.
Give us Elden Ring too.
There was a point where Sony would say, hey, yeah, you're an artist, do what the hell you want. But new PlayStation doesn't do that anymore. Now they're afraid of their titles. You know, again, the biggest sign of all of this was the fact that they closed down probably one of their more innovative studios, which was the Japan studio, who did middle A sort of titles and, you know, weird, you know, just experimental titles. But
yeah, I mean, completely honestly, like, even aside from, you know, having a mild grudge by being treated like shit by customer service, like, I just don't know where Sony's going. I know I like to talk a lot of shit. I like to talk a lot of shit about everybody. I just like stirring the pot. Like, seriously, what is the long-term goal here? It just seems like we're going to rehash and update Last of Us for 10 years. Like, I don't. No, and now they're showing designs for the Xbox, PlayStation 6 and the controller designs. Like, what? You haven't even delivered us anything.
Here's the thing with them, and I am going to say this. They are pretty much the way Xbox was in the 360 era. Or the Xbox. Not 360 era. There are Xbox in the Xbox One era. The only difference is that they're actually doing numbers. They're literally not taking any sort of chances. They're releasing... I hate to say it, but the hardware is not like the most powerful hardware on the market right now. It can barely do 4K for most of the time, where they're doing sort of upscaled stuff, which is, you know, again, you can do upscaled stuff, it's fine, but you literally have the other guys with the cheaper console, the more powerful console, outdoing them. The only difference is that these guys are in the zeitgeist and have the reputation of making, you know, good first party titles. But this year alone, I mean, this generation alone, what have they done? It's all the same bullshit as we've been getting last year. I mean,
you get diminishing returns from all these big franchises, right? Like, we used to have 10, 12 big franchises from one company, and it's kind of gotten sorted down to, like, a few. Like, we have God of War, we have Spider-Man. We don't have that many anymore, and unless you keep investing in new IPs that make it big, you're not going to kind of keep steady because of those diminishing returns.
Here's the nightmare. Innovation. No more innovation. Just getting the same old shit over and over and over again. That's a nightmare. Where none of these companies want to take any more chances.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, we're kind of
here's another one. I'm afraid that they're going to use the new Unreal Engine to homogenize shit even more.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem, you know, we have with the both the big guys. Let's just be honest here. You know, Xbox isn't exactly throwing all these new IPs at us or anything. We're still getting Halo, Forza, and Gears. Like, so it's the same basic thing. Hold on, real quick.
About the Ubisoft effect.
What is the Ubisoft effect?
Okay, the Ubisoft effect is that all of their games kind of trended towards one thing. And then they ended up making that one game with a formula of, you know, the Assassin's Creed formula, right? That just kind of bled into everything else. And what was the fucking spy type game they made? Like hacker type shit?
Splinter Cell?
No, it was some hacker bullshit.
Oh, Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs, yeah. Like, that should even bled into Watch Dogs. And now you see Ubisoft just driving Assassin's Creed into the ground. Like, one of my biggest fears is when the next Unreal Engine gets big, you have a platform that everybody has, but then they're all building the same thing on top of it, which is going to make everything a fucking carbon copy, and this Ubisoft effect will be even worse permeated throughout the fucking industry. That's my fear.
Oh boy.
We're just going to get one game. Just one game. Eventually it's just going to be, hey, this is Assassin's Creed, but I'm playing as Link. Hey, this is Assassin's Creed, but I'm playing as Solid Snake. Don't fucking matter. It's every game.
Yeah. Real quick, I'm going to, let's see, DR3D3Y, I'm going to call you Dre Day. he goes, longtime listener of the pod, first time checking you guys out live, love the show. My man.
Appreciate it, man.
Well, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know?
My gaming nightmare is kind of what you just said, Brett, like, but I'll be more specific about it, right? And it's funny, because I remember I wrote about this in Cool Stuff the Blog 12 years ago. Where,
oh shit,
I said,
bring it back.
I fear a future where every game is an online first-person shooter. Now, that didn't exactly happen that way, but we gotten pretty fucking close, right? When Destiny came out, I'm like, oh shit, Manny, that's that game, that hypothetical game I was worried about, you know? But now we have, you know, Fortnite, which is third-person, obviously. But yeah, my fear is every game will be some kind of online persistent shooting game that's constantly updated with all these other characters from other franchises. So it's like, hey, be Chun-Li with a gun, be Sonic the Hedgehog with a gun, you know? We're you know, here's who said this, I think it was you, Brett. We're already kind of living our gaming nightmares right now, if you really think about it, right? Other nightmares, right? A new console with no games 3 years in. That's pretty nightmarish, right? Games that are just basically all the same. A gaming industry where there are nothing but AAAs and indies and nothing in the middle. That's pretty nightmarish. We're living that right now, you know?
Dude, just the dissolving of, I lost in the middle of the fucking thing.
Games as a service, always online. Mm-hmm. Don Matrick's wet dream come to fruition. We're kind of, you know, the remastering sort of remake kind of phenomenon of these last two generations has been ridiculous. And
there it is.
I'll go for it.
Oh, okay, the dissolving of generations, man. If you went back 10 years, told me, like, hey, you know, you like next gen games? Yeah. You want to live in a world where there's no fucking such thing as next gen games? No, I don't.
It's crazy, Brett. You like to think you purchase a console day one, the PlayStation 4, for $500, right? Or 400, however much it was when it came out. Like, okay, cool. Playing all these remasters, you know, and Knack and Killzone. And, you know, you wait a couple of years to finally get some good titles that deserve to be called, like, this generation's games. And then you wake up one day, 7 years later, after 2013, you spend $500 of your hard-earned money, plus, you know, going through all the BS that it takes to get one of these consoles when they came out in 2020. And you just end up playing the same games as you used to. Because why? Oh, so everyone gets a chance to play. You know, why do you want to leave the PS4 players behind? You know, they should play God of War Ragnarok as well. And I'm like, then why the fuck are you selling me a $500 console?
I need to go off on a rant about this shit, man. Because this annoys the shit out of me, right? Remember when the PS4 and Xbox One came out, right? What was the thing everybody complained about? These consoles are underpowered. That was the main thing everybody complained about, right? Now we're getting to this generation. Oh no, we got to keep making games for these consoles. Wait, you just said they were underpowered. We're 10 years later, and suddenly we need to keep making games for these underpowered systems that you yourself said were underpowered. What the fuck? That doesn't make any goddamn sense, you know? I wish people would just be consistent. We've been consistent on this fucking podcast, I'll tell you that, and we've been around long enough that you could check the fucking receipts, you know? It's bullshit, man. Anyway, ran over.
Boy, I'm Team Steam Deck. I like when a company respects me and gives me a quality fucking product and no bullshit.
Yeah, man. We have that perspective of growing up in times where you bought a new console, you're going to see something new. You're going to see something you've never seen before. And that's just...
Beyond that, you used to buy a new console. My turn to rant. You used to buy a new console and a fucking launch game. And when you brought that launch game home, it had a fucking map and a full color manual and all kinds of fucking freebies, possibly some goddamn stickers. It just seemed like the company was trying to fucking court you. Now, if you go and actually buy something, they're like, fuck you, here's a code and nothing else. Eat a dick. It's just, we get so fucking little, and I just get so frustrated when fans, here's the recorder, I just get so frustrated when fans like come to the aid of multi-billion dollar companies. They're like, oh, they should be charging $70. They should be giving us less things. They should be cashing out every single fucking character so that we have to buy them individually and feeding us the same rehashed bullshit so we can keep buying into this shit over and over and over again. Like, why do we defend this behavior with such fervor? I understand companies are shitty and they'll do shitty things, but why is everybody simping? There we go. Why is everybody simping so fucking hard?
It's that tribal bullshit, man. You have to, like, defend your preferred console no matter what. These guys even forego logic because think about it, right? The two sides make the same arguments depending on what game it is, right? Like, for example, if X game is exclusive on PlayStation, right? The Xbox guys are going to hate it. The PlayStation guys are going to love it. But if that exact same game were exclusive on the other console, they would flip. These guys don't even have an opinion of their own. They just go with, okay, this is on my system. This is the shit now, you know?
But this is life with everything. I mean, you're not into sports, but this is for the beginning of time of sports.
Yeah, oh, no, it's the same bullshit. It's the same bullshit.
You can hate that's what I'm saying. You can hate a player until he leaves that team and joins your team. Now you're buying
his jersey. Yeah.
You're putting his posters up. Well, why? Because he's playing for your team.
Yeah, it's bullshit, you know?
It's just what people do. We're tribal. That's how humans are designed.
And it sucks because sports are meant to be tribal. That's the whole point of
sports.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's supposed to be a winner.
That's it.
That's true.
And then whoever doesn't win loses. Mm-hmm. But with this thing, like Adam plays a video game on every freaking console every fucking day. It's like he's living his best life playing video games wherever he wants to play. But people, you know, they have to, and like you guys mentioned, this whole tribal bullshit where they have to pick their gods and just worship them until the end of time.
Or as
we've seen, as we've been in this way too long, we've seen in some of our just people that we talk to, some people are on one side and then they just like flip and they start defending the other side.
I could name names, man. I could name names. You know, some truthful names, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
it's crazy.
Maybe it's comfort. It's one of those things. It's like, oh, I like vanilla. Well, I like chocolate. Can't you like both Rocky Road? No. Why? It's just, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars. Why can't you watch both? It's just the way people are with a lot of things.
I'm glad to bring that up. They did a study, I want to say back in the 50s, when it was still legal to do studies and experiments on children. Where, like, they put them in a classroom and told them, like, having blonde hair was better, and blonde people were inherently superior. And they kind of watched the kids descend into some Lord of the Flies prejudice bullshit. And then that same group of kids, they're like, oh, no, we made a mistake. It's actually brown hair that's preferable. And the inverse, it just switched. There was no... The thing that was baffling me is that immediately the brown-haired kids started treating the blonde-haired kids like shit. Even though they had just been put through a situation where they're like, I didn't like this. When the roles were reversed, they slipped back into the aggressor mode with no consideration to having been on the other side. It's fucking weird. And we do it since we're like, it's hardwired into us, even as children. Again, it's bullshit. And honestly, we should all be rising above that shit. Like, don't listen to that fucking little voice. That voice is what makes you an animal. not listen to that voice. That's what makes you a good human.
All right. Anybody else have any other gaming nightmares?
I don't want my Division to disappear. No, I think about it all the time because here it is. Ubisoft a few months ago had their earnings call. Not that nasty email with all that stuff, but they actually had an earnings call. And they talked about the big franchises. They're going to keep building on it. And they list the Division as one of their big franchises. But what wasn't mentioned and still hasn't mentioned is development for Division 3 because Massive, the company that the devs that worked on it, they're doing the new Star Wars game, and half the other team is doing the Avatar game. So there's no one left to do another Division game, and we do have Heartland.
Big signals.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have Heartland, but that's coming to – that's like a free-to-play, and that's being done by a third-party group that did the multiplayer for Division 1. It's not really the main team, and it concerns me with all this. And they've had a lot of problems recently with Division 2. They had to take the servers down, and – They sent this whole message. The code got fucked up. Everything got broken. And then finally, when they fixed everything, I loaded up and all my, well, not all of it. Most of my shit is gone. It's upsetting. It's upsetting. And so I'm just concerned. I'm just concerned. And then the movie is in limbo. It's still listed for Netflix. Now it's got a new director. Jake Gyllenhaal says he's still on board for it. But I don't know. I'm scared that one day I'm going to see, oh, well, they are not doing it anymore, and they refuse to sell it, you know, because they just like Splinter Cell, you know, it's like, yeah, oh, we're not doing it anymore, but we own, exactly, if we own it, we know you want it, and we're not doing it, sorry.
Yeah, that's Splinter Cell, Prince of Persia, Rayman, Ubisoft has a track record with this shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, know? They have a track record, and some people I know will be like, oh, what about, kids, Microsoft, will keep doing that shit until they close up shop, just like Halo. Halo screwed up. It can screw up every week and every year, and they'll just keep pushing it out until one of them sticks. Because if they don't produce another Halo, then it's an epic fail for them. And people will always throw it in their face.
You Adam, I have a question. Let's say that the Division 3 gets announced.
Okay.
And it's still not set in New York. How do you feel?
I'll play it. It should be in San Francisco. That was one of the ideas, and it didn't happen, but that would have been great. Like California, make it look like a Escape from LA, where that was awesome. Everything was all destroyed and shit. It's fine. It's fine. DC was whack, though. I didn't like the location for DC. I get why they did it, because it's got all those landmarks and different scenarios, but it just, I don't know. I've been to DC, and I don't like the layout. I feel like it could have been in other areas or another country. Go to England. I mean, they got the map. We just talked about it with Watch Dogs. You know, Watch Dogs Legion, they went to England and they had the whole thing scanned out. Well, there you go. Go to bring the Division over to another part of the world, because it wasn't just the U.S. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
There are several divisions.
Yeah, right. Brian, gaming nightmare.
For the most part, it's already happening, so it doesn't matter. All these live service nonsense, all these HD remasters for no reason that get announced, all these games that aren't really games costing more for no reason, even though it's the same game you've been playing for 10 years, you know, it's like, yep, it's already happening. That's why I've clocked out and mostly play indie games.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the nightmares has already happened, people. It's already happening.
I feel like they learned this whole technique from movies, because we see it with movies. Remember, there was VHS and DVDs, and they re-released the DVDs. Like, hey, you're going to get a few extra features. Oh, yeah, all right. Now we got Blu-rays. Oh, we got to get the Blu-ray. It's got a few extra features. Maybe not. No, we got rid of director's cut. Directors don't want to do this shit anymore. It's like, okay. Oh, now we got 4K ones. Is it the same one? Yeah, pretty much. We just did some touch-ups. You want to buy it? And they just keep creating these new platforms and new devices and saying that you need it. This is the best version. But when you think back and you're like, wait a minute, it wasn't filmed in that version. These are all modified versions of this film. So whatever.
Yeah. All right. Got a couple more people. All right, guys. Again, we only have 4 more questions. Thank you, Logic Wins, for tossing us another one. We will answer that soon. But yeah, if we don't get any more questions, we will be ending the show sooner than usual. But I'm glad if we answer as long the rest of the questions as we did this one, then we should be okay. But yeah, if you haven't asked us any questions, Dre Day, if you want to ask us any gaming questions, feel free to. Anybody, you know, jump in there and we'll keep the party going, man.
I could be extra contentious. We can do this.
What's up?
I said I can be extra
contentious. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
We could be extra contentious and slower.
Yeah. This video game costs $70. Why do games cost $70? It's fucking bullshit. All right. Mob hits in the house. All right. First question. Now, this one. Okay. I'm going to ask the question, but then I got to ask the question after that. Okay. Actually, I'll ask the first part, then I gotta stop to ask the question. He goes, with Battle Royale and service games slowly fading away, is that true? Seems like they're gaining more steam, or am I bugging?
No, they just keep making more of them. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he's thinking they're stopping, but we see constantly new
versions. Yeah, like, that hasn't everybody's stopped.
I think what he's talking about is audience fatigue. Like, in general, I think that shit is probably coming to a hype peak. It's probably past its peak, and the next thing is slowly growing in the depths of Roblox or some bullshit. But
how?
I mean, the biggest one right now is, well, besides Fortnite, is the Modern Warfare. Warzone, Call of Duty's Warzone. That's the same thing, and it's still going.
What's up,
Carlos? So this question triggered me to go to our old reliable Twitch.com to look at the most streamed games, right? Just to see where all the the Fortnites, the Apex Legends, how they're doing, and then I remember I looked this up a couple of weeks ago when we were on during the show, and a certain game was at number one. I think we're looking at Hi-Fi Rush, and it wasn't in the top 10 or something like that. There was this one game that we all know, that we're all used to, that we're about to hit the 10-year anniversary of.
Oh no!
That was number one, and this game is at number one again tonight.
GTA.
How the hell does it do this?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Just so many.
Now, let me ask you. Do you think it's going to survive the transition to GTA 6?
I mean, there's so many copies out there.
With the guys that made the Grand Theft Auto series what it is gone. And
yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, will it catch that, or are they just going to essentially try to duplicate what they did with this one?
They're gonna
have, and that could be the kiss of death for service games.
I think it's gonna have to merge in some way. I can't see them bumping everybody. I think it's gonna be sort of like how Fortnite did it, where they just like, hey, we're updating the world to the next version. And because remember, it's separate. GTA Online is separate. You don't really need the other one. You can just go and play that.
World of Warcraft did this.
Yeah. So I think that's how they're gonna do it, because they're not gonna expect everybody to jump ship. Like, they're gonna force that update on them. Like, hey, that world is shutting down. This is the new world.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
They could do it like Guild Wars did, where they sort of like soft, is it Guild Wars? Like, yeah, I think it is Guild Wars, where they sort of, gave a bunch of different things to the people that previously did it to also make it, going over to the next one even, more attractive. So, who knows?
Yeah,
Fortnite is number four. Apex Legends is number five on the list.
See, these games aren't really going anywhere in terms of popularity. But the actual question is, what do we think will be the next big thing in gaming? We've been asked this before, but again, we got to fill time, so we got to go for it. I've always said, who the hell knows? But I do remember I did say last time it will definitely be some kind of online competitive game, since that seems to be the thing that keeps going. Like, it has to be some kind of online competitive type of game. I don't know what form it'll take, but that's what it'll be at its core.
Oh yeah, we know elements that'll kind of, and I'm not talking down when I say this, but it's like, it's going to be simple and kind of easy to jump into. Like, it's the games that hit aren't the deepest ones. They're the casual kind of semi-casual fun games. Also, it's going to have to be mematic. It's going to have to be the kind of thing that you can stream / post YouTube videos of.
And play with your friends, and not just hate everybody, so you could group up.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Online, community, Twitch friendly, like literally the platform Twitch, Brett, I think you, I don't know how to add to that.
That multiverse, that battle royale thing that the Warner Brothers did with the Scooby and all
that shit fell off.
That thing fell apart.
No, that's still flourishing.
How many people are playing that shit right now? We're watching.
Because that's on big on mobile phones and shit. People love that. So maybe what's the name of it? Twitch. Multiverse or something like that.
Multiverses.
No, that thing sort that of shit, fell off.
That the, shit off fell the off the banks, radar, man.
Yeah, they're still doing updates, but it's not doing the numbers that it did when it initially came out. No,
because I think it's more of a phone thing, like Gang Beasts. People love Gang Beasts.
The fuck is that?
You don't see that on Twitch. There you go. But that's huge. It's huge on
making
phone.
Shit up.
Love that. No, I'm not. My multiverses? Kids love it.
No, yeah, multiverses. One word.
Yeah, that's the Super Smash Brothers Warner Brothers game.
Yeah, multiverses.
It's got 433
viewers. Whoa.
Just make a DC Universe 2, man. Come on. That game was actually pretty good.
Yeah, Carlos, what was the numbers?
432.
No, that's nothing. Yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it was way down the list.
Yeah, but like several. I said, it's a mobile. It's the mobile thing. It's not like one of those PC streaming type of games. It's something that a lot of mobile, because it's free.
Yeah, but the question was like, who's going to replace like that? Like,
well, that's like, what I'm saying. This is it.
Adam, it can't be mobile. Adam.
You don't think it's
mobile? Well, hold on.
What we keep hearing about.
No, the reason it can't be mobile is like, it's not going to fill that niche because it's not fulfilling that third thing. You can't really post videos of your mobile game. You can't stream real well from your mobile game. It's difficult to become a Matic. It's difficult to become the end thing.
That could be it. They figure it out.
It could be.
That could be it. They figure it out.
You want to talk about nightmare scenario? Mobile games taking over Twitch? God damn it. Adam, we're not going to sleep tonight.
See, that's it. They're going to, and people are like, oh, the controls don't work. You get that. What's that? It's a $100 controller thing attached. You put your phone in it and it turns it into a controller. Apparently, it's awesome with the compatibility. I forgot the name, but it's out there. So, yeah, once they figure out that integration thing, poof, there you go. And that's the new thing. And we hate it. And there's nothing we can do about it. And Microsoft was right. They're like, this is what we wanted. We didn't really care about Call of Duty. It's all about Candy Crush and all the other bullshit phone games. And that's making book of bucks. I mean, shit, that Diablo.
So does that mean if you invest in Game Pass, you're going to get yourself a Candy Crush?
That's, probably. They said that that's their model. They throw all that shit on it, you know?
I got some. Yeah. I think, I don't know why I feel this way, but like, I kind of feel like the next Elder Scrolls might try to pull a GTA Online thing where it's a hybrid game.
Maybe.
I mean, they already have Elder Scrolls
Online. Yeah, they already do have Elder Scrolls Online.
That's kind of why I'm leaning that way. It's like they have the experience. They have the franchise. They can look and see how successful GTA is, and they can microtransaction the fuck out of that with all kinds of magic flying stupid bullshit that there's no limit to the wackiness on. Like, it has all the elements to kind of be a GTA Online kind of thing.
But what would happen?
Still probably a small chance, but like that would be big if it kicked.
Yeah, but what would happen to Elder Scrolls Online proper then?
It'd probably still stay its own game. Like, let's be honest, that game is as successful as it is, it's not going to be successful forever. These games have a kind of way of withering. So you have to look at, okay, what's the successor to Elder Scrolls Online going to be? Well, Elder Scrolls main franchise is huge. It lasts for 10 years. There's already an established market for a hybrid type game. Maybe we'll just kind of sew both of those together for the next thing. And honestly, that'd probably be a smart fucking move.
To be honest, I think that should be the next goal of Elder Scrolls, to essentially be able to combine the online world with the single player experience. It only makes sense for an RPG like that, right?
Yeah, and that kind of thing could hit all those notes. Like, you could definitely stream your Elder Scrolls shit. Like, okay, here's a good chance to actually throw in this kind of bonus question. Do you mind, Tony?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, so I read an article today where somebody actually used the base code of ChatGPT in a mod for Elder Scrolls and created procedurally generated quests. At first, they were really simple, stupid bullshit, fetch quests and whatnot, but apparently the algorithm learned and ended up creating whole quest lines. So that kind of leads me to the question of, like, okay, I want to know how the panel feels about procedurally generated content now, now that it actually works. Now that it's not Diablo, here's a random level that doesn't really make sense bullshit. How open are you guys to playing AI-enabled games?
I think you know my answer.
Yeah, I think I know Tony's answer.
Yeah, So I don't need to. Yeah,
that's a big fat yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to play games made by AI. No more. Get rid of the human element. Just fucking AI.
No. I said assisted because you know they're not just going to throw in bullshit like that. It's going to be like this. You have like your main quest line, and when you get to the end of it, the storyteller, which is what they're going to call the AI, pretty much, mark my words, the storyteller will continue to give you new stuff that is generated just for you.
Oh, you want to talk about a nightmare, an endless game? That's a fucking nightmare. No, thank you. You know.
Now here's the question: Would we know? What if they don't tell us? What if they just say, "Hey, we just made a new game"?
Well, I mean,
how would we know? Resident Evil.
Resident Evil and currently Dead Space say that they use an AI. They call it the Director.
Yeah, that's the one that essentially goes in and throws
enemies and stuff at you. Mm-hmm. Trying to make those experiences more
troubling.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
what do you mean? Like the thing is that like you've had that director idea all the way up until from the previous Resident Evil games.
No, I'm talking about the thing Brett proposing. That's kind of
where it's just essentially consistently throws. Throws you quests and things.
Yeah,
and, you know,
they already have that. It's just remixes though. It's just bullshit. Like, here's four elements we're going to cram together in different ways to make a quote unquote endless cycle of quests. It's the Chalice Dungeons from Bloodborne.
Well, it's like procedurally generated levels. Same thing.
There's only like if you have your set parameters of whatever things are there. Like in Elder Scrolls game, what other adventures could you really have other than the same mixed around things that you've always done? Hey, go get me that thing. Okay, well, that thing's been blocked because there's a werewolf over there. Go kill the werewolf. Get me the thing. Oh, shit, I died. My brother, you got to give it to my brother. Oh, no, my brother, he's on the other side of the other side of the map. It's the same stuff. It's just like reconjigged around.
In my mind, where I would see, I'd like to see it going is if you had kind of like an AI-assisted thing, you get things like more immersive and more reactive. So even if Tony and I approached the same situation, like maybe I would accidentally say something to the guard that would piss him off and it would spiral out of control. And I'd end up stabbing him in the throat and running, whereas Tony had a peaceful interaction, right? Like you get those things where everybody's story is different. And then you get that magic element where people are like, well, my story is unique to me and I have to post this video online of this funny thing that happened on it. And then other people watch it, get interested. Like that is a dangerous formula. So, like, that's kind of where I see the more you can tailor an experience to, like, this is content unique to you. Maybe your friends didn't get this because they reacted differently. And I feel like that's where it gets that kind of dangerous thing. And I see specifically Elder Scrolls being able to do all three of those things in one game if they really wanted to. They could be like, you know, we have kind of a quest storyteller that makes sure that, you know, aside from the main quest line, which does have an end for people like Tony, that there's always going to be content here for you because we know this game's going to be around for 10 years. Also, it's a hybrid online game. Fuck, man. They win.
Yeah. By the way, I guess kind of ironic. I was scrolling through Twitter, saw this. AI voice cloning tech is making phone scams frighteningly believable. I talked to some who got duped. They were elderly, plus heard their loved one needed cash now. They felt it might be a scam, but the voice sounded too real to ignore. One lost $21,000. So AI-assisted phone scams. Well, yay.
They've already been doing that for years, too.
They call you up.
They're basically saying that they're copying your loved one's voices now.
Yeah, because what they'll do is... Oh. Well, no, they've already been doing that.
They've been copying
how do they know who's your family member because of your number,
a couple of different things where it's like you when you talk to the phone, right, when you're, you know, answering one of those things, a lot of times they're also copying your, you know, recording your voice and looking for certain things. So as long as they get you to say enough things, they could easily duplicate your voice. So then you combine that with the fact, okay, you know, obviously older people talk a lot more than younger people do. They're less suspicious of what's going on over the phone. So there you go.
Oh, now you have to create a passcode. Passcode.
And yeah,
that's it. But like, oh, if this is really Manny, what's the passcode?
Yeah. So there's the that's like stranger danger shit from when we were like,
yeah, that's what
kids,
I'm saying. Exactly.
Right? You go,
yeah.
You're like,
yeah. If someone says, "Hey, I'm here to pick you up. Your mom sent me." Like, all right, what's the code? Yeah.
Yeah.
What code? I mean, there's no way this is not going to bleed to video games, man. Like, there's just no way.
Oh, no, I know.
It reduces workload so much.
Yeah, there's your, nightmare.
I feel for that elderly couple that gave away, like, money and shit. But I will say this. If Adam asked me for $5, I'll be dubious of that.
I can't even send an audio file without him thinking that I got hacked. Remember that time I sent that audio and he was like, don't answer it. It's not him. I'm like, what the
The last couple of weeks, I'm pretty sure Microsoft hacked on your freaking phone.
Holy shit.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. You don't answer the phone so much that we find it suspect that you, when you do decide to.
Yeah. But yeah, going back to the topic, Brett asked about, what do you guys think about that?
Go ahead.
Just real quick. I do want to mention that, there are differences in the type of things that are procedurally generated that would excite me. In particular, is the dialogue of NPCs, because I just feel like NPCs are too robotic, even in some of the best games. So you know, having an experience where talking to NPCs is a lot more adventurous in a sense than just getting the same type of dialogue every so often. It would be pretty cool. It would add to the experience. And like Brett mentioned, you talk to everyone that's played the game and everyone has different types of dialogue. That'd be pretty cool. I feel like that would add like a different dimension to video games, without going into the extreme of procedurally generated entire stories and plot points and all that stuff.
I could see it helping small indie studios. I was like, all right, we're programmers, we're good at this, we got some good artists, we don't have anyone to write a good story, so let's see, tell it to the computer. Make a good story that fits this. I got a midget, I got a troll, and I got a Bigfoot, and they're all running around South Jersey. Can you figure this out, please? I have to go sleep. And then when you wake up, you got this 15 page story. I'm like, shit, we did it. Now we can go and pitch it to Epic, and it's done.
By the way, shout out to Mob Hits for the bits, brother. Appreciate that.
Yo,
one
yo.
Thing, yeah, the ahead, one man. Thing about the one danger about doing that is the fact that the problem of plagiarism, and that's always been.
Oh yeah, yeah. Some stuff can come. The issue. You got to proofread the shit. That's the key.
If anything, if you're gonna throw any of, and that's the problem. What a lot of people are having with this thing, they're just throwing these plagiarized. Stories and things all over the place, like they're their own stories, but they really cannot own any of that stuff because it's just built off of things that are on them. I mean, we just recently had a situation where a person tried to claim a bunch of AI art, to the U.S. Copyright Office, and the U.S. Copyright Office says, "No, this is AI generated. You can't own this."
That's a big landmark thing, and I'm real happy how that turned out.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it is a thing that is literally built off of the, and there's a video about this by those assholes at Corridor Digital.
Uh-oh.
Oh God.
There's a video about this essentially saying that the fact that these things are trained on artwork that's online, that's available online, which is copyrighted by companies or by individual artists, is a massive problem. It's literally a huge issue because it's literally violating the human copyrights of every single person who's ever posted artwork online, as well as companies.
You know, Getty Images is going to win their suit too. Like, that shit is airtight. They have examples where the AI produced art using so many Getty Images that it has the Getty Image watermark on it.
Oh, Jesus. Exactly.
Yeah, so that is a serious issue. And I think that even with if you're going to be using these AI things to generate like plots and things, if they're going to ever use this technology, they need to train their own AI models themselves. So in other words, get somebody in there essentially start writing stuff so that this thing learns what this is, because it can't learn from everybody else, because as soon as that happens, you're literally fucking a bunch of people over. So
all right, let's move on to the next question by Mob Hits. Out of the big three, which one is the least anti-consumer?
Big three of the...
Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo.
And then Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, huh?
Yeah, or which one is the most pro-consumer? That's the...
I guess you would have to say only because of the services. It's Microsoft because they're putting it on everything. If Nintendo would open up their fucking Mario games and do something similar, that'd be great. Sony's getting there, having a lot of their first-party games go on PC. That's great. You know, it's not day one stuff, but it's getting there. Because that, to me, that's consumer-friendly. Just getting your games off of just your main console, saying, all right, this is it. You have to buy this or else you can't play it. It's like, that kind of sucks in this day and age where we're used to getting music anywhere we want. We're used to getting music and movies anywhere we want, multiple platforms and services. It just makes sense to do that with games.
Not to sound like a fanboy, but isn't it obvious that it's Microsoft?
Yeah, because they have Game Pass, you know?
Not to sound like the other fanboy, but it's because they had no choice.
Yeah, that's right.
Not forced. Yep. That's it.
You were forced to, yeah.
You're right. And then one on the only plus side that they can back on if anyone says, well, it's because, you know, you failed in hardware. Well, we've always been a software company, right? That was the whole thing that Major Nelson said. He's like, Windows, we have one of the biggest gaming operating systems out there. Come on now. We've always been software. And it's true.
I mean, we've always been soft.
Yeah, we've always been soft.
No, it is the truth. It is that is always, again, we've said this 1,000 different times, every single friggin' way we could ever say it. Microsoft has always been about the software and not so much about the hardware.
Yeah.
I would have to, as much as I like a lot of the Sony first parties, I would have to say Microsoft is probably at this just because of the way things are going. They are absolutely the most consumer friendly. But I will say this, they weren't at one point. You know?
Oh yeah.
They literally had to open the door because they weren't really competing on that same level at what Sony was. Whatever their movie, TV, sports bullshit,
that was horrible.
Fucked them over so badly that they had to literally change their whole
restructure everything.
Strategy.
Everything changed. Forcing Kinect down people's throat. Nobody wanted that shit before, and then they're like, oh, guess what? And then for the longest, it shows how the internet was wrong with a lot of things. I said, don't worry, there's going to be two different IPs for it. They're two different SKUs. And it's like, nope, that was it. It was just you had to get it with the damn Kinect. You couldn't get one without it.
Yep. And screwed the narrative over for them. And they literally couldn't even get any sort of headway in that generation. Not to mention, they weren't following up their cornerstone titles with anything beyond. Like out of the Xbox One generation, what game could you say in there that really was a new title that was attractive to people?
Wow.
It was just Halo.
That wasn't new.
That was
new to them because they even don't
work. No, you can't say
Halo.
Still didn't come out.
You can't Marathon say Halo because it's a franchise that's already existed.
But Manny specifically asked,
what new franchise stood out during the Xbox One generation for that system?
And we can't say third party. It's like first party attractive games.
The answer is they can't come up with.
Because all I really played on it was Ghost Recon.
Yeah, and that's a third party.
Like a lot of their stuff was some third party stuff, like. What do you call it? Like Sunset Overdrive.
Well, that was 360.
Oh, no, Sunset Overdrive would be considered a first party because that was done on
the... But you said the original. You said the original.
No, Xbox One. Xbox One.
Xbox One.
Oh, the Xbox One.
The one that's called One, not the original.
Oh.
No, the original one, yeah, you can name shit like 360. What would that have? That era had. That had Gears of War, right?
What did
the following generation have? I don't think they had anything. I think they were just depending on the legacy of those two titles, and they couldn't fill in the space in between.
What was it, Viva Pinata, that had a TV show and shit? Remember, they were trying to peel the kids?
Yeah, well, that TV show, as somebody who worked at the studio, that was not... it wasn't anything.
Logic wins. Viva Pinata rise from the Rome.
The greatest game of all time. The game that inspired everything before Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild.
Yes. A game that looked very nice, which I do agree didn't get a good shake, but I feel like it was also not one of those things that really attracted people, even though it was a very impressive looking game. Even now, what is that running Crysis?
Crysis engine. Man,
Rise? Yeah, Rise is running on the Crysis engine, right?
On the Gorilla?
No, the Crysis. The
game, Crytek.
Yeah. The Crytek engine, right? It's running on that.
I think so,
as I remember. But anyway, yeah, like there wasn't really.
What was Fable? What was Fable? Was that just 360? I never played it.
That was 360. Yeah.
No, that was 360. Remember the Xbox One version was the game was canceled. Remember?
Yeah, it never came out. Yeah.
Which by the way they said was done. By the way, they canceled that.
I wasn't sure. Well, that must have been bad. You don't throw money like that.
I don't know.
Uncle Phil was talking about that shit on Thursday. You saw that? Well, that on the Xbox, he was talking about Fable and how great it is and all this stuff. And I was thinking, I was like, well, when was the last Fable that came out? He's hyping the last, it up like it's been out. Like they keep making
new. The last Fable game to ever come out was on the 360.
Yeah, so it was Fable 3.
Yeah, and then they had that one, the one that was supposed to be using the Kinect, right?
Fable Legends. Wasn't
that Fable Legends? That was that, and then they mostly finished that game, and then they knocked that off. So, the 360, the Xbox One generation really didn't have any sort of identifiers. So, you know, all they had was a Halo, had two Halos and two Gears games. Oh, the RTS games that they put out from those franchises. So now the question is, now for this current generation, they really need to toss something out there that really can turn the tide. And I would say that, like, essentially acquiring places like Bethesda was a good step, because it literally got, you know, what we said before, it got those sorts of, you know, those games in there. It's got those recognizable franchises, and you know they got a couple of new dealies going in there. You know,
curious to see what we find out next week.
Wait, was it what happens next week?
Remember the whole thing with the judge telling Sony that they have to disclose all the information about the private contracts and stuff, because Microsoft is saying that there's a bunch of publishers that said that they weren't allowed to put their games on Game Pass because they were accepting money from Sony. They were paid to not have certain games. And I'm like, what games are that? So I'm assuming got to be Activision with some of these Call of Duties, because I don't think I've ever seen a Call of Duty game on Game Pass at any point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's that. They probably have some sort of deal that's on that. You know,
yeah,
it's probably a part of their deal with the you know, their whole deal with Activision. I mean, if Activision is a part of this thing, why doesn't it's not like only Sony can release this information. You know,
well,
they can literally go to Activision and be like, yo, what kind of deal do you got with Sony?
That's the other thing, though. I don't think on the PlayStation, I don't remember ever getting Call of Duty on there either, part of that free service.
Sony, I'd take a freaking deal at this point, because it's not looking good.
Yeah,
really the more they try to drag this shit out, the more the deal that they're going to get out of this is going to fucking suck. So they need to really just cool their jets and double down on whatever the fuck they're working on, and stop worrying about how good or bad this. Again, like, that means they're just going to have to work.
Do you
get to work, boys?
Japan, do you think that's what this? Because that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, they got to be putting pressure on this dude to make him do all it. Like,
no, I mean they.
I can't see. I don't know.
We know for a fact there's been a lot of third party games who have been paid. Like, their contract with Sony is, if you want to publish on our console, you can't publish on Microsoft's console. And like, we knew that these deals were happening. I've talked about it before, but it seems like there's more than we thought, or more than is common knowledge. And my train of thought on this is, okay, there's a reason Sony's not real public about this. Probably doesn't sound real good for them when you put it all in a list. And they've pushed to the point where the judge has said, well, we want to see all of this in a list. And that's not great for Sony. I've tried to shoot
for the past 5 years.
Well, you can, but here's the thing: like you can see where the proof is just by the things that have the Sony logo on the beginning of their advertising. It may not even have to do with all the other part of it. I think it's just like they, you know, at least with the Call of Duty franchise, they have that deal. They have that exclusive, you know, like first, you know, that they're the console that they get mentioned off. They probably, you know, hit them with a little bit of stipend for the development of the game.
But they had Guardians and Guardians of the Galaxy, and then that was on Game Pass. They had Red Dead.
Well, no, Guardians was not an exclusive.
No, but it was Sony advertised marketing. Call of Duty is not a Sony exclusive.
Was Guardians a Sony advertised
marketing
game?
I don't know. Yeah, I remember because I had I reviewed it on the PlayStation because that's how everything came through them. It wasn't through Microsoft. They were like, "Oh, we got this code, but it's only going to be through PlayStation."
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure about that one, but I mean, because they didn't have any sort of exclusive content for Guardians or any other deals like that. So,
well, that's kind of what makes me think.
But it also is Square Enix.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be some kind of a.
It's like all the Square Enix games. We know that.
Final Fantasy is which one is the last Final Fantasy locked to PlayStation as well?
15. 15's not. I have
15 on Xbox.
Boy Band is on. I know this.
No, the new one. That new Final Fantasy, the remake, I think is.
It's on 7. Yeah, it's
no, but I'm saying is Boy Band the previous one of PlayStation as well, right?
Which one?
Boy Band, the previous one. The Blood one with the Band? Fucking got kids in the
car. No.
The Boy Band.
15.
No. Yeah, whatever. Oh, that's on it. That's on Xbox. I have it on Xbox.
Okay.
It's just the remake of 7. That's not there.
Yeah, they locked that one.
That one. Well, that's why I'll be interested to see this, man, because, like, as you said, this information is kind of publicly available at other places. So it's either, A, going to be them just making Sony compile a list of their own records, or B, it's some stuff that even we don't know about. And that's the thing that has me kind of interested. It's like, okay, if you guys had your thumb on the scales, like, how much have you had your thumb on the scales?
Well, I feel like as soon as they started to hit the stride with the – once they hit a hit with that 4, I think that's probably – the beginnings of a lot of the deals that they had sort of did, you know, that's
probably, I mean,
around that time, I mean, at least with the sales around the time the sales numbers started coming in. And I'm guessing that's probably when they signed that deal with, with the Activision. I don't even know how long.
Well, it sounds like from when they released on the FTC site, when they released all these documentations of how it was going around, it sounds very similar to how Nintendo used to do things with the stores. Where it's like, oh, if you're going to carry us, you can't carry the other guys and this whole thing. And we get a better deal and shelf space. We get more shelf space or else you can't carry all this. Because that's the other part of this Activision Call of Duty thing is that Sony gets a better discount deal when it comes to putting Call of Duty on their platforms. It was paying less for the games as opposed to PC and Xbox. So that was a big deal. Because remember, that's where that report came up of like, oh, God of War was funded by Call of Duty. And they're getting it from this. Is that they said that they use that extra money to put into all the project, you know, internal. And that if they lose that, then it's going to hurt them. And I'm like, well, you got a shitload of studios that are making buco bucks. You can
It just means they got to work just as hard as they did in PlayStation 3 era.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm all for doing business that like draws your customers in. I'm not necessarily doing for business that keeps you in power by intentionally subverting your competition. That seems anti-consumer more than anything. Especially all this talk about like, oh, this acquisition will hurt the industry. Well, it sounds like you guys have been kind of hurting the industry for a while now.
Oh yeah.
How is this going to make it worse? It kind of sounds like it'll make it better.
We need
They hurt the industry by essentially just saying that it's gonna hurt the, you know, it's only just gonna hurt their pockets. It's only gonna mean that they need to invest more in their own titles, which they're
trying to do. They can't, Manny. As they said, the money they get from pushing these kinds of deals is how they make their first party games. And if they don't get the edge, then we're not gonna get another God of War.
Well, no, that's it. It's gonna kill it.
Well, we're not going to get another God of War regardless.
but that should seem like that. Like that's some like emotional manipulation 101 type shit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm sorry. If I can't have my way, then I'm going to find a way to punish you and take away the things that you like.
Hey, man, listen, everybody's got, you know, what's-his-face said it himself, man, for former president of Sony. He's like, yo, we can't keep this shit going on for as long as we're going on. The prices of games, the cost of, you know, these sorts of games have to come down. We have to start doing smaller games.
All right. Yeah. By the way, real quick, got to give a shout-out to our boy, Black Oni. It's been a while since we talked to him. He is rating us with 11 of his people. So shout out to everybody, man. Awesome.
What's up, Oni crew? How you doing?
Yeah.
Welcome to Throwdown.
You guys have any more thoughts on this topic? By the way, and I don't like whataboutisms, but Sony is not the only company who has done this historically.
No.
You know?
I mean, Microsoft.
Nintendo. Nintendo did that shit. Remember the NES? They bought all those fucking exclusives. You know?
Yeah. In that era, they were the only game in town as far as the Americas went. Right?
Yeah. And if you try to make a game for another system, you were gone with Nintendo. So you know, Sony's not the only one who's done this shit. And they haven't even done it as worse. Nintendo is the worst at this shit, you know?
Yeah, so like, and then you know, again, Microsoft in the 360 era, they were doing a lot of that shady shit too. So this ain't new. Yeah. None of this stuff is new. The only difference is you're hearing about it openly.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know? Yeah.
But all you need to do is just look at exactly what's going on. How come all these games are all locked up on the 360? Oh, it's because of that.
Yeah, they bought them up too.
And then there was the other part of it, the development issue, right? Because officially they didn't see the PlayStation as a viable platform to develop for, because it was obviously difficult to develop for. Well, there were other consoles that were difficult to develop for, but they were the only game in town, so it was only one you had left, right? It's a lot of stuff. Anyway,
so go ahead. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Since you say like it's the same thing, it's just more public. Do you think that this list going public could hurt Sony's image?
No.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I don't think so.
I think so
how do you think it's going to hurt them?
I think here's the thing, like these things, you know, being not, you know, if you look hard enough, you know what the deal is. But them, essentially, it looks bad because it just looks like they're trying to corner the market. And that's exactly why Microsoft wants them to pull all that info out. We're not playing a game of just, hey, we're going to get control of Call of Duty. We're also playing a game of reputation, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like
by the way, Blitz says if Microsoft was a top dog, wouldn't they be doing the same thing? They did do the same thing last generation. Oh, not last, the previous generation, the 360.
The one little caveat with the 360 is that they were forced to play that game when they saw that they couldn't compete when the Xbox, the original one, came out, and they saw a lot of these deals were already being made with Sony. Sony was locking things down because they didn't want Microsoft to jump in like that. So then they had no choice. They're like, all right, fine. What do you got? What do you got? And one of the ones they did was with Rockstar. I'm like, well, you're going to make some DLC? All right, we want exclusive rights for that then. They had to play the game that Sony
created. But beyond that, they got rights to Call of Duty content. They got the Rockstar Ballad of Gay Tony and
That's what I'm saying.
They got Bioshock. They got Mass Effect. They got the Orange Box first.
It's a game that's being played constantly. The only difference is that again, we're gonna probably know if this all comes out, we're probably gonna know exactly what the game is being played. Because here's the thing: when people say like, hey, look at what's going on, don't you see what's going on? And I'm like, nah, it's not going on. And then they literally drop the paper in front of you, like, yo, see what's going on?
Okay, but this is it. This is how the industry's always been. We talked about it with the console wars, with Nintendo. Nintendo started the same trend, and then we saw what happened where they were gobbling up everything and forcing people, oh, you got to make this stuff just for us and not the competition. Then Sony comes in, and then they're the on the opposite side. Hey, no, we're the alternative. We're going to do this. We're going to make this game. And then they see Microsoft coming like, we got to do the Nintendo strategy. We got to stop this, nip this in the bud. you know, it's always, and then if there's another one that comes, it'll happen to them.
Yeah, but they're all gonna, they're all gonna play hardball to try to get over on each other. That's just the way it is.
In terms of the reputation thing, the only one that it might sour is the FTC, because they don't know jack shit about video games.
They don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like all this stuff is already public. They're not secret.
It's,
you know,
it's public, but it's not on the forefront. It's not like they're wearing this giant list. You know, it's one thing to have essentially all the evidence being sitting around. It's another thing having the evidence sitting on a bulletin board in the middle of the square where everybody can see.
Yeah. So are we gonna have? Because we could do the same thing with Microsoft. We could list all the games they've bought exclusive
but
for.
They haven't, but know? They have. But the thing is, theirs is not sitting on the town square, and theirs is not on a happening during a court case.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm my point is, people are acting like Sony is the only one who's ever bought exclusive.
No, it is not. No,
okay, whoa. Hold on. What? Hold on, Tony. You are completely throwing severity out of the window here. Like, it really does matter how much this happened. Sure, I'm sure everybody plays the game to a certain extent, but there's varying degrees. Also, you kind of said, they were hard on, we can get this information. It's publicly available. And my question to that is, are you sure? Because that just sounds like a big assumption. And I know where you're pulling the idea from that, but truth is, we don't know what's in this list.
Hold on. Do you not read gaming news? Every time there's an exclusive, there's a news post on it. There's your evidence. Okay,
let me put it to you this way. There is somebody who makes way more money than either of us, whose entire job is to scroll the internet and find this evidence. And yet, they still decided that they needed to put Sony under subpoena to get all the information. So there are people who are more qualified and more well-paid who have put a bunch of time into this who say that isn't all the information. And quite frankly, I kind of got to go with them a little bit instead of just saying, I assume I know everything.
Okay. But well, Brett, I don't give a fuck how much these people get paid. I'm calling bullshit on this. I think the only reason it's happening is because Microsoft wants, like Nate said, put this out in the public square so everybody sees it in a nice list. All this shit's already publicly available. This is all a fucking game. That's all it is. It's not like it's Sony is not hiding anything. All this is already public knowledge. This is just the front to make Sony look bad. That's all this is.
Yeah, because he's like, I think.
But who's bringing them to court?
It's Microsoft.
They subpoenaed them.
But Sony started it to get FCC involved.
Yeah. No. But this, like, what you guys are not getting is the whole thing about the public square thing. It's the FTC public square. It's so Sony can look bad to the FTC. The public the gamers, they don't, they already know what's going on. When they release the list and they show, oh, Bloodborne, there was a deal with From Software and Bloodborne. Oh, there was a deal with Final Fantasy VII Remake. Oh, there was a deal with Street Fighter V.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know this.
The whole reason.
I am now not a virgin.
No. But the whole point of this is just because the way Sony kept saying that this is going to hurt their business of Call of Duty, that's where they were like, all right, produce all the information, all the facts of how this works, and that entails of all the games that you do produce to see how that entails with linking Call of Duty. How does Call of Duty impact your Bloodborne and all the other shit?
Oh, I can answer this really easy, Adam. It's basically Microsoft said... Sony said, like, this is going to hurt the industry. Microsoft said, no, it's not. Sony says, yes, it is. They're going to have bad practices. Microsoft went, you're already doing that. Sony went, no, we're not. And the court went, okay, show us some evidence. That's literally how we got here.
And they don't want to do it. And then it went back and forth until finally on the fourth try, the judge says, fuck it, just show it. Cut the bullshit, just show it.
Yep.
Yeah. It just
generally seems like Sony had an argument and kind of got backed into a corner they didn't want to get backed into. Like, one of the lawyers seems like they're getting fired.
You can't have a hamburger shop across you from a hot dog shop and then take the hot dog shop in court and say they're ruining my business. It was like, why? Well, what's going on? It's food. It's the same shit. People want to eat. They're going to walk down this street. Yeah, but they're going to prefer that shit over
my shit. I don't understand why, like, we're deducing the argument of whether should Microsoft should buy Activision or should be blocked by it. That's not the discussion.
Nope,
the discussion is whether this whatever list comes out, if it's going to hurt Sony in the public eye. We understand that it'll probably hurt them in the FTC's eyes, but that's just the FTC. They don't know anything about video games.
And I say it will hurt them in the public eye because, again, it's a giant list literally right in front of everybody's faces with all the information. You know, not everybody goes and reads all the video game sites, and not everybody will just – I think this is all – now that all this will be there in front of – it. In other words, it's seeing is believing. So, like, having all those things all crowded into one space makes a lot more of an impression just, like, looking all over the internet or looking at things. Some people just don't give a shit. Having it on a giant list.
So here's a question. Do you even think this is going to happen? In the public eye? Because they could easily just say, you know what, forget it. We'll just take the deal. We're done. Because they don't have to release it. They could just say, we're done. We're out of this argument. Yeah. So that's what I think is going
to
happen.
I don't think they can, Adam.
They're in the middle of an FTC case. It's not them that gets to drop the case now.
No. But they can back out. It's FTC that has to drop. But they can say, you know what, we've changed our stance on this. We're not in dispute. We're going to work out a deal. And then it's just the FTC that's going to bitch. It's not going to be Sony. Because they said part of the argument is that it's going to take too long for discovery. They said it's financially going to take too long. And 5 years of documentation, and they have to have it within 2 weeks? That's ridiculous. They're like, we can't do it. Judge like, well, you started. You said this is going to hurt. We need proof. So present it. They could easily say, you know what? Forget it. What's that deal? 12 years? Now you're saying 12? We'll take the 12-year deal. Let's walk away. We're done.
Can they, though?
They could, because it's not them, it's FTC. Then it's up to the FTC to see if they still want to go after Microsoft with this shit. Because then now, who's left on the other side? It was Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Google. Now, NVIDIA jumped ship, so it's just...
Here's my question, though. If you start a court case saying, you know, doing this is going to cause all of these bad things to happen, and then somebody says, you're already doing those bad things, and the court says, really? Show us your records. I don't know if you could just go, you know what, never mind. And back out of that point without having to disclose those, right? They might just still say, we asked you for the records. You're under subpoena. You are legally obligated to deliver these no matter what.
Well, it's the FTC that created the case. If it was Sony that created the case, difference. But it was the FTC. And they were like, well, Sony over here said it's going to ruin them. All right, well, now Sony. Now, if they work out a deal and both parties agree, it's one of those things like property issues. If you two guys are arguing over property lines and you go to court, and then you guys outside make a deal at a bar and a handshake. It's like, hey, you know what? I'll give you some. You give me some. You go back to court. Hey, we agreed to something. It's like, all right, let's go over to another room, sign the dotted line, make the agreements, and then that's it. Close it.
Oh, yeah, maybe just, if you phrase it like a settlement, I can see that.
That's what I'm saying. If they agree on terms outside of it, we see it all the time. With it's like, oh, the settlement was done, you know, disclose amount behind closed doors. You know, that was it. So we could get something like that because I don't think Sony wants to spend time releasing all this information.
It's not like the FTC issued a warrant for this information. Yeah. Well,
a subpoena is like a warrant for information, though. Like, no, I'm pretty sure if you get a subpoena, you have to supply that.
The FTC is just Sony is mentioning that they're this deal cannot go through because it's hurting their business, and the FTC is like, all right, well, show us. And that's part of the thing.
And they have a deadline of when they can show. And that's what I'm saying. They have within that window to back out and just say, you know what, fuck it. Let's work out a deal. Let's just work out it. I think it makes more sense. Just work out a deal and let's move on from this shit.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Moving on here. Okay.
I hate talking about all that shit, to be honest.
Well, we have to. And there's something else to talk about.
I know. No. I don't mean for the sake of the podcast and all that stuff. Yeah, it's fine. But I just like... all the minutia that has to go behind all this video game shit. That's the most fucking boring shit ever. It's all this useless, stupid-ass drama when we could literally be talking about fun games to play. We're literally talking about the bullshit that they're going through all this stuff.
There's no games to play, so that's all we have to talk about.
Yo, man, put out some fucking games. Make us, you know...
All right, well, here's the game. Anybody play that Wulong? Anybody play that? That's a new game.
I haven't played it.
I rage quit and I deleted it. And damn. So there you go.
Well, that's not your game.
Yeah. There you go. That was my experience with that game, and that's a new game, and I didn't like it. So
yeah. All right. Next question. Sticking this one in here by Mr. Blackoni, and it's also related to what we've been talking about. Why does Microsoft have to even buy Activision? Because they have no games. That's why.
That's it. That's simple as that.
They ain't got no games, bro.
Phil said it. Go ahead. You can see it on YouTube. He even said it. It was on Xbox on last week. He said, like, why are you buying this? He's like, we need games. We want to build our collection for Game Pass. We don't want to have to always rely on third party to put their shit on because it costs money. costs money. Every time those games go on it, they are paying those publishers, not just out of the goodness of their heart. No, they're paying them up front a good amount of money to put that game on their service for X amount of time. So the more games that they have that they own that are just there, then they don't have to stress about it. They don't have to say, oh, exactly. Well, we have 100 games this month. Maybe we'll have 80 next month. They'll always say we have over 200 games steady. Why? Because they have these back catalogs.
Exactly.
Well, they also don't have the runway to do it any other way. Like, yeah. They could sit there and build strong studios with talented developers over 20 years. But, I mean, game development is already so long that even buying studios, we haven't seen the game return that we want. Like, it would be next generation before we saw those returns, and they're just not willing to sit out the whole generation.
No. Yeah. We already sat out last generation.
They already sat out last generation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's I don't agree entirely with Brett. There are some exceptions. The whole Bethesda thing with Starfield, it's already been 10 years since the last mainline Bethesda game came out, which was fucking Skyrim. So it's been way longer
wasn't
than
Fallout 4. Wasn't Fallout 4?
Fallout 4. Fallout 76?
Fallout 4.
That's not
count. That's
okay. Fallout 4 then.
Yeah, Fallout 4. You're right. What is that? 2014.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's already been eight, nine years. So it's been a minute. And to answer the question, it's all about the games. When you're trying to sell a service, you have to make an enticing group of titles that will get people to pay $15, and it'll probably go up in price pretty soon for your service. And it's not a cheap service; it's a pretty expensive service just relative to a lot of other stuff. Buying Activision, it's all about getting Call of Duty and saying, hey, Call of Duty, you don't have to buy Call of Duty every year. You just have to be on subscribed to Game Pass, and you already got that.
Yeah, and play it on whatever you want to play it on.
Yep, play it on your phone, play it on tablets.
All right, moving on here. Back to Mob Hits. Do Western RPGs tend to lack engaging combat? Interesting question.
What? RPGs lack engaging combat.
Yes.
All right, Brian, go ahead. Expand.
There's something to expand on. It's yes.
But what kind of combat?
Finally,
second
shooting. RPG that has good combat.
What do you mean? Which melee combat or gun combat? I mean, there's plenty with guns.
RPGs, Western RPGs.
Yeah. We got The Division. That's great. That's a
bro. This is one of the. This is the reasons why Souls games stand alone. There are very few games where it's like satisfying to play the combat.
I like using guns. I like using guns.
Outside of guns,
combat is pretty good.
I don't. If I say the next thing, it's going to turn into a fight.
Oh,
what's the fight?
Let them fight.
Come on, man, throw down. We got time.
I'm sorry, I don't consider Division an RPG.
Well, with all the gear and gear
scores, it is, Tony. Deal with it.
It is very much an RPG.
Yeah. Tony,
you have to do loadout pads.
That's it. I said my piece. I'm not going to expand on it.
You get knee pads that increase your critical hit damage. It's an RPG. Deal with it.
Brian,
you got me with the knee pads, man. You got me with the knee pads.
Yeah, the knee pads.
All of it. I wish it wasn't at times. I wish I could just jump in there and play.
Yeah, Sketch Sess is not an RPG.
It is an RPG.
Deal with it. You have
optimization and recalibration.
Builds. You have build diversity. You have loadout.
Accuracy, load balance, you name it.
This is a problem that I've said. Now RPG elements have trickled into everything. You could technically say Call of Duty is an RPG now, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Well, it is.
You get experience points. You level up. You get perks. You get loadouts. You know?
Yeah, you level up.
You got a third-person mode?
There's a whole different leveling up XP just for your weapon so that you can build it up. So even though you could be a high level, if you're got a low level weapon, you're not on the same level as the next guy.
Sketch says Borderlands is an RPG based on that shoddy excuse.
No, you don't have you can't modify all the shit in Borderlands.
But Borderlands is an RPG, no?
Yeah, he says it isn't.
That's a looter shooter. That's a big
Yeah, okay. I don't see how it's not an RPG. I mean, you have
the chat saying it's not an RPG.
You can literally go down different build routes. Like, no,
you can't re-optimize and do all that shit with them.
Okay, but I don't understand that. You know, you can have like corrosive builds, energy builds.
You'll get other versions of the weapon if you want something better. You're like, all right, I'll just get a weapon. I'll just try to see if I can find something better than this one. But when you start recalibrating and optimizing and then taking all the different parts for your gear, that's not one of the options that you have in that one. It's mainly just find better shit, move on to scrap the other ones, and that's it. You don't have different loadouts.
Yeah. So what Western RPGs have bad combat? All of them, Brian, you said?
All of them.
Like, even the Division?
I'm genuinely struggling to think, okay, can we think of like at least 5 Western RPGs that have good combat?
Listen, man, I love me some the Dragon Age games, but the combat ain't it. You know,
like let's point out like the popular ones: Mass Effect, Fallout, Dragon's Age. I know, Brett.
Yeah,
you know, it's like there's just nothing.
What
like,
about the Larian games?
Larian games, they're more.
Those are turn based, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, but they are Western RPGs. He didn't say action RPG. He said Western.
Okay. Division is fucking awesome because it has great kind of interconnectedness between the elements and a lot of the battle stuff. But I wouldn't count that.
You wouldn't count it as an RPG either?
I wouldn't count it as, like, satisfying combat because it's turn-based. Agreeing?
Yeah.
That's like crossing the street. But
the Larian games do count because they are Western RPGs. Doesn't matter if they're turn-based or not. They're still Western RPGs.
Okay, I mean, I guess.
Do you like the combat in those?
For turn-based, yeah.
Okay, cool. So there you go, Brian. We found one. Or two. Or three,
that one has an asterisk on it.
Yeah. But why does it have to be an asterisk, though?
Because it's good for a turn-based game. If you're like, is this as fun as like Hi-Fi Rush? Fuck no. Not even. It's not even in the same league.
But I thought that we're just discussing combat.
We're discussing combat mechanics.
Yeah, Hi-Fi Rush has great combat mechanics.
That's an RPG?
No, but then, Brett, it's like within the context of RPGs only.
No, I know. I'm just using that as an example of good combat. I'm not saying it's an RPG. I'm just saying, like, I have yet to find a good RPG that gives me the same visceral hooray element that, like, Hi-Fi Rush does, other than Souls games. Like, Souls games, I want to swing the sword because it's satisfying to beat the shit out of that guy. Yeah. But I don't have to have a motive beyond that. And I found that's honestly refreshing. I've sat there at Marvel before, like, I could just sit here and run this same thing over and over again, just murdering everybody with my whips, just because it's fun as hell. I help people beat bosses. Why? Because I like beating bosses. It's for nothing other than the pure enjoyment of combat. And I find that really rare.
So we can remove the RPG stuff now?
Or yeah, I'm confused by this. We're talking about Western RPG mechanics, and you're throwing other stuff.
I'm throwing in like the high watermark because I don't have a good example of Western RPG mechanics.
Okay, there you go.
I only have a good example of good mechanics in other games that Western RPGs can't seem to get a fucking handle on. I agree with Brian.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with Brian, too. I don't disagree with them.
I don't play enough Western RPGs to make any sort of decision on this. But
I was just saying that it seems like the Larian games have good combat. But that's only one.
I do want to mention it's kind of an unfair question because Western RPGs are almost primarily just shooters, and I don't know if you want to compare that to Japanese RPGs where some of them are like some are combat or turn-based stuff like that. It's kind of completely different genres.
Yes, but I still think that you can still have good combat. I mean, shooters have existed for how many years now? So have a Western RPG that's a shooter and still have bad combat, it's still like okay. It means that your shooting mechanics are bad, even though that there's been years to refine them.
I think Destiny has great shooting mechanics.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That if that's the case, then Call of Duty and all those type of games are crap in your book because that's all about the shooting mechanics. It's not even about anything else. People just like how it feels
running. I feel like Fallout with the VAT system is a great mechanic that they introduced that hasn't ever been done.
Yeah, VAT is cool.
So you know there's some stuff. it's just really hard to see like what we're trying to compare, because Brett mentioned the Souls games, and I'm like,
oh, well, that's a different.
That's
in my mind. Different. Whenever I thought about if there was a Western RPG, I thought of it was just has to be a shooter, you know. And Western, we're just focused heavily on shooting aspects of those type of games, incorporating a lot of shooting into them, as opposed to, like you said, with swords and magic and all that other stuff, like Final Fantasy stuff. I don't link that with a Western style RPG.
Okay, I'm gonna say something controversial. Oh. I don't think shooting is combat.
That is controversial.
That is, because we do have
war. It's a whole different thing, man. It is a whole different thing.
War is combat and involves a lot of shooting.
So then what do you see it as, Brett?
I see it in its own category. I see it as shooting. Like, you have to have completely different things when you're making a first-person shooter than you do if you're, like, making a third-person action game or any kind of melee. Like, I think when we say enjoy combat, we are talking about, like, physical combat, not shooting. Well, that's just become
fighting games.
That's interesting. When
you say, oh, like, fighting, Street Fighter,
you call it fighter. Except you don't say, except you always call shooting games shooters, and you always call them, like, shooting mechanics. You never say the combat in Destiny is really awesome. You say the shooting mechanics in Destiny is really awesome.
Or would you, Brett, would you say Divinity has good combat?
Yeah, you can't say it has good combat. Okay, Brett,
you can technically be correct, but that's not how we use those terms in the real world. When we talk about the real world, we talk about combat. We're not generally talking about shooting mechanics. That's its own discussion.
In the real world, shooting is part of combat.
It is combat.
Armed combat. like firearms. Like, yeah, dude, it's combat.
Look, I know technically the definitions of what these words mean. I'm just saying, have you ever heard somebody refer to shooting mechanics as combat in casual conversation or article writing or anything? People don't talk like that. That's all I'm saying. Like,
when they I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I see them as the same thing. I'm like, what do you do to kill things? You know,
technically that's combat. They are, but dude, if I come to you and I say the combat in this game is really good, you aren't going to think that I'm talking about shooting, unless I say the shooting mechanics in this game are really good. We already classify them in discussion as different things because they are kind of fundamentally they require different things. They require different talents. You know, it's. Shooting is all about the weight of the gun.
I don't know. I guess that's just me, then, because, like, for example, like, I consider God of War, Tomb Raider. I'm saying I consider all those games the same genre, you know, action-adventure. So, it's like combat. I'm like, whatever you do to kill things, that's the combat. But, Brett, I do understand where you're coming from because, yeah, most people, they kind of weirdly separate them, but even though they shouldn't, they're just, this is how you kill things. That's combat.
I feel like people separate them.
Combat.
But I know why you say that, because I know you don't like shooting as much as like hack and slash. So I get where you're coming from.
No, I like shooting. I like shooting. I'm just saying, like, it's like if I have two different recipes. it's like if you have two different recipes and say that they make the same thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess, but they're different enough. Like, you know, it's like okay, Alfredo.
Well, you're right.
It's just nacho cheese.
Yeah,
Alfredo is just cheese dip. Technically, you're right. But nobody says, I want the, let me get some spaghetti, but let me get the cheese dip on top. Like, nobody ever fucking says that, even though it's technically correct.
Yeah. No, but it's, and this is me giving you some credence here. It's like, okay, learning how to use a sword effectively is very different than learning how to shoot effectively, right? So they are two different things, but they both get you to the same thing. Kill someone.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that it's different. It's different to program for.
Yeah, no, Brett, I'm trying to say that just like it's different in a game, it's also different in real life. So I'm saying you have merit in what you're saying. That's what I'm getting at. Understand?
Or
can I call shenanigans on this whole thing?
Shenanigans.
So the reason why we feel the way that you, Tony and Brett are describing it is because. In our circle, the majority of our combat fucking orgasmic fucking gameplay sessions are with Soulsborne games. To us, that's the
Monster
pinnacle.
Hunter 2.
Monster Hunter.
That's the pinnacle of what combat is. But for a lot of people, it's Call of Duty. A lot of people, it's Super Smash Brothers. That's like that. The combat in fucking Super Smash Brothers is great. Well, what about Soulsborne? They're like, that's combat. You know, you don't get to knock people out of your arenas. Like that, you know, and that's why, you know, when we mention combat, we think of Soulsborne, we think of Hackslash, we think of, you know, parrying and shit like that. But you know, for someone like Adam, when you talk to him about combat, he's like, yeah, you do the roadie run and all that stuff. Right, so
UFC, that's combat.
I'll even see that third person shooters are closer to what I would consider combat than first person shooters. Like to develop a first person shooter, whole different skill set.
All right.
I think we've seen game companies fucking prove this too. Like you can't just go from developing shooters to developing a good, you know, melee combat system and vice versa. It doesn't work very well.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not combat. But you know, anyway, Brian, go ahead. You can finish this off, and then we got one more question. And we actually did it, people. We hit our. My goal is always to have at least 90 minutes. We have done more than that, so we're good. Anyway, go on, Brian.
I actually agree with Brett, but not on the same principles. And because I understand combat as the full encounter, as in from what you do and what happens in said encounter. So, for example, you can have good shooting mechanics, but if the system that it's in is bad, then it's bad combat, in my opinion. So let's say, for example, if you're playing like a Souls game and then the AI just stops moving, then I consider that to be bad combat. Or the AI does the same move over and over. That's bad combat. You want the AI to give you an experience. So I can kind of say, yes, Brett, I agree with you, but for different reasons.
No, thank you. I didn't know how to put that into words. It was something along the lines of combat involves everything. It involves your dodging. It involves spacing. It involves timing. Shooting mechanics, especially in a first-person shooter, it's just shooting. Like, you rarely have to space. You rarely have to, like, truly dodge and stuff like that. It's its own...
You do have to dodge a lot in shooters.
Constantly.
Like roll dodge or just step out of the way.
And take cover, lean against the walls, objects. That's all.
Walls, do double jumps, you know, traverse terrain. It's a lot of stuff. Driving.
Going prone.
Even like, okay, car combat, I wouldn't just say combat when I'm talking about that. Again, they feel specialized, but it's car combat. It's a different thing.
Just, it's combat. You can add as many qualifiers as you like, but it's still just, at the end of the day, combat. It's just what Brian mentioned. It's just one way to destroy whatever the hell your antagonist is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like turn-based JRPGs. That's combat, you know? When you play Final Fantasy VII, it's a combat system. It's some JRPGs do it better than others, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, even though it's not anything like whatever the Soulsborne games are, but it's, you know, it's a way of combat.
I understand that. That's technically correct. I'm just saying I have never met anybody that says the combat in Destiny 2 is fucking awesome. They always say the shooting. Always, 100%. Maybe it's just people.
I just hear the gameplay. I don't even hear shooting. I hear like, oh, the gameplay's great. I like.
Yeah.
I always heard about the gun mechanics. You know, the gun mechanics feel great. The guns feel weighty. They recoil the way they should. It's all about shooting.
Yeah. All right. And the last question of the night, Mr. Logic wins. All right. What would each of you like to see during next week's Capcom showcase that isn't Resident Evil or Street Fighter related?
Bionic Commando.
I knew you were going to say Bionic Commando.
That space game. I want to see what all that space game is about. The one with the girl and the spacesuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Stigmata,
Brian? What's it called?
Pragmata or something?
Pragmata. Yeah, something like that. Pragmata. Yeah,
it's Pragmata.
Hey, that was a good song.
Stigmata. Yeah. Oh, Monster Hunter World 2. Let's go. Actually, it's Monster Hunter Paradise. Yeah, that would be fucking dope.
Wait, the Monster Hunter Paradise?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the actual sequel to Monster Hunter World.
Excuse me?
So that'd be good if they show that. Switch,
but they just released Monster Hunter Japan on everything already.
Yeah, well, that's the game sold already.
Do you think they would cut that just because of the
Game's already old, you know?
I mean, it is old, but it hasn't been on the PlayStation.
Well,
Xbox,
the thing is, I don't think they're going to cut its legs off by announcing a new one. You know, that game may not come out for another 2 or 3 years. You know,
Yo, man, I'm disappointed you guys aren't using zeitgeist words. the zeitgeist word is cannibalizing.
Cannibalizing.
Oh, yeah, it was cannibalizing. Will it cannibalize their... Thanks, Phil, for that term. It might cannibalize it. Who knows?
Yeah.
It could.
Yeah, what about you guys in the chat? Logic One says a new Devil May Cry. That'd be cool. Mega Man Legends. I never understood the whole hype with Mega Man Legends.
I feel like that's like an after-the-fact nostalgia because those games did shit.
Dino Crisis. Motherfucker's been asking about that shit forever. You know?
I mean, Dino Crisis Remake? Sure, why not? Nobody gave a shit about that title anyway, so might as well remake it.
They should have packaged like 1 and 2 as like one big like Dino Crisis.
Yeah, one
like,
super game? Yeah. Do that.
Create a new Lost Planet. That was fun.
How about this one? Bring EX Troopers to the States and with HD graphics. Do that. I don't know when.
Okay, I'm going to say it because no one else has said it. Dragon's Dogma 2.
There you go.
Man, I want to see some Deep Down. Where is that shit? That's a full generation gone. Where did that go?
Do the Streets of Rage treatment for Final Fight.
That'd be dope.
Hand it over to those guys. Same guys. Yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. They obviously know how to make those sorts of games.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do something with this shit.
Well, anybody else?
For me, it's just hard to take anything serious other than Monster Hunter 2. Monster Hunter World 2.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I want that. That'd be the shit. You give me that, I'm good. I'm good.
Just make it for next-gen consoles, Xbox Series X and PC and PlayStation 5, please. All right, thanks.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, current gen only. None of this cross-gen bullshit.
But what about your boy, Elo, who's on the PlayStation 4? You don't want me to have it? What's wrong with you, man? You leaving me out of the party?
Yo, man, leave that motherfucker behind. That's possible.
Yeah, you know.
What happened to No Game Left Behind? You're like, yo, man, that's not my console, though.
That's not my console. Man,
just give him the deuce and dip.
You know? Dude's going to be hitchhiking his shit.
Here's the thing. You can be sure that I will have a PlayStation come Spider-Man time. I will have a PlayStation 5 come then. That's one thing I could be sure of.
Let me mention another thing, just going back to this real quick. Back in the day when you didn't have, and everyone's going to nod their heads after I say this, because everyone's felt this before, or everyone's done this before. When we were kids or we were young and we didn't have any money and we were broke and we were living in the projects, when we didn't have a console or a game, sometimes our buddies would have those and we would go to their houses and play.
Yeah, remember when people used
to do
that?
Would play.
Yeah.
Or Blockbuster, just rent the shit.
So, you know, like people feel like, oh, they, you know, I can't play God of War because I don't have a PlayStation 5 and stuff. I'm just like, well, you know, make a friend. There's gonna be someone in the neighborhood that has a PlayStation 5. That's how we did it. We did pretty good.
Nah, man. People are afraid to go to people's houses.
They don't do that anymore.
You don't know what they got anymore, man. They could be like, you know.
Wait, is that
some sort of diseases? I don't know.
Is that for real though?
No, I don't even know. I'm just fucking around. I don't know why.
I want to throw him in there too. As like the owner of consoles, like generally we're pretty happy to have friends come over and play video games with us. It's not like a subversive thing. Like I'm gonna go use their console. Like fuck yeah, come over and play video games.
Mm-hmm. Brett's the video game Candyman.
Candyman can
not the Candyman that comes to your to your windows, you know, and slashes you up and shit. Not that Candyman.
Whoa.
Yo,
they haven't proven anything.
You gotta make a decision, man. You gotta make the distinction. You either Candyman, you know, like that, you know, you say his name in the mirror three times and he pops and kills you.
You already said it three times.
I know mirrors around here, so I'm good.
Tony Todd's about to show up, you know.
Tony Todd's about to show up and be like, I will make you my next victim.
Oh man. All right, man. Good stuff. We did it, people. Well, I'm always happy about that. All right, Adam, do you have anything to plug?
Hopefully tomorrow we'll cover the episode 8 of The Last of Us, the show, and see if they can get close to sticking this landing. Because after this, that's it. One more to go, and the party's over. So You can check us out over at the Coalition, well, myself, Rich Bailey Jr., Carlos, or at
I consider shooting different than just quote unquote combat.
So wait, how
was
it?
Wait, Brett, we can hear you, brother.
Oh, shit.
I think ranged weapons are kind of their own classification.
Coalition game.
Is it killing us?
I think
it left his earpiece like
that. I wish you and your family all the best.
Because they're such widely right,
you're gonna have things. To mute. You're gonna have to mute Brett.
No, hold on, maybe he'll talk shit about us. Let's keep this going.
Talking like you're like,
we'll just take this off air.
We're not really talking about shooting most of the time.
You're talking about melee.
Yeah, well, like that's sort of the melee, but, not so much with the melee.
situations. All right, people.
Yeah, let me mute him. I'll mute him. I'll mute him.
You probably think I'm third person going to swing.
There we go. I muted him. You guys will probably hear him. I don't know. All right. So I can't hear him, so they can't hear him, so we're good.
I
just deal with it. all right, just deal with it until I'm doing the outro. All right, make sure you follow Throwing on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Since he probably won't say this, I'll just do it for him. Deuces. Yeah. Later, party people.
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody. And if the Humble Bundle sale is still going, you get 72 games for $30.
Oh, shit.
Pretty good deal.
And Brian Majoma.
It's fucking hilarious just hearing Brett just talk just off. It's brilliant.
Oh, man. All right, people. We'll see you on Thursday. Maybe Brett's conversation will still be going by then. Who knows? Later, people.